Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
For the past 2 weeks, we have been sharing about baptism. We want to continue that idea. By way of introduction, we have shared the biblical perspective of baptism in general, of being submersed into the flow of that which you are baptized with. We have shared that there are seven references in baptism, and we have preached about two of those, the baptism of repentance, where we are immersed in the flow of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, and of water baptism, where we are held under water usually, or poured, have water poured over us, whichever way. God doesn't say it's got to be one way or the other. He just indicates to do it. From that time, we established from Scripture that the baptism of repentance is the first of these to occur. The baptism of repentance is that of believing on Jesus as Lord, confessing your sins, forsaking your sins, and from that, becoming a disciple of Jesus that seeks to have a deeper walk of discipleship in and with Jesus as Lord. Jesus then came forward after John was baptizing. You may remember the story well from last week. John was there, he was preaching repentance, and then he was baptizing. The repentance was the forgiveness of sins. The baptizing was the affirmation and the confirmation that they were cleansed of their sins because of the fact that they had believed on the Messiah as the Messiah. They didn't know who it was yet, but they had believed on the Messiah as Messiah. We also shared, if I can remind you please, that John the Baptist in the New Testament was the first person to preach about repentance without a sacrificial lamb to be offered. That's because Jesus was coming to be our sacrificial lamb. He is the Lamb of God. The revelation of Messiah was going to be done. Jesus came, John baptized him, and from that perspective, the heavens opened. After Jesus prayed, the heavens opened. A dove descended via the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Messiah was now revealed, the same Messiah that John had been preaching about. John responded very graciously. He must increase, I must decrease. We also shared about the baptism of water. We showed from Scripture that this is holy. We tried to share that this is not only done by John and sanctioned by God, but also commanded by Jesus, especially in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The leadership team here is supportive of baptism. We are looking to plan a baptism in September-ish so that those who want to be baptized can be baptized. I will say it again, and then I will go on to the rest of the sermon, but I will say it again. If you have never been baptized, we would love for you to be a part of that. If you want to reaffirm and just say, I'm still walking with Jesus, there's nothing in the Bible, cover to cover, that says it can only happen once. Nothing. And you can reaffirm and restate as a living testimony that you are still walking with Jesus. And or, the third is this. If you have lived for Jesus, you became a Christian, you got baptized, but you also had some straying away, and you've come back to Jesus, you can be baptized again. There's only one question I have to ask, and I will. Do you know that you are a Christian and have believed on Jesus as Lord? And after that, if you have, we can baptize you. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Today, we want to share another biblical perspective of baptism. We want to look at the biblical perspective of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share with you that I had written a sermon, and now it's going to be another series, Kyle. So just point one is all you're going to need to do, and I just share that so you know what to do. There are many people who call it by multiple names for this most holy and glorious work. Filled with the Spirit, entire sanctification, making Christ the Lord of your life, the holiness experience, and even more. I know what I call it. You may know what you call it. I am not as concerned about what you call it as that I am concerned that you possess it. I am really okay with you calling it entire sanctification or making Christ the Lord of your life if I call it something else. It's okay. What I want to do is share with you that while I will always allow others to have a different name, it's okay. God is the one through the Holy Spirit that does it. There are people who will disagree with me at times, and that's okay. I'm not always right. Ask my wife. She'll tell you from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I'm very rarely right. I'm kidding. She doesn't. Not too much anyway. I'm kidding. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the blessed Holy Spirit comes into the life of a believer, i.e. having a person that has already been cleansed of sin. Having been baptized in water, the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer. And the carnal or the self nature is then crucified. I am crucified with Christ, and I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. I do not have to follow all of that. I do not have to be part of that. I can have my nature. Can we go back to point one? You're on something else. I just now saw that. Let me say that the Holy Spirit is what we call the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are those who say they are three individuals, but they're really one individual with three different personalities. That is negative. They are three different personalities, three different persons, having the same mind, working in the same mind, and hence when we get sanctified, when we get the entire sanctification, when we get the holiness experience, when we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we become one in mind with Jesus. There are some verses that support this. Genesis 1, 1 through 2. At the very start of the Bible, let me just share this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. He is his own entity and existence. God starts the Bible by introducing the whole of the Bible to the move and the moving of the Holy Spirit, with the existence of the Spirit of God being a separate person yet one with the Father. There's also Psalms 139, verse 7, further testifies of the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Two persons are referred to here. The Spirit of God. Where shall I go from your Spirit? And then, where shall I flee from your presence, i.e. God himself? The Son of God has not yet come to the earth. And therefore, the two entities that are revealed are the Father God and the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 12, 32. In short, the Holy Spirit is just as real, just as holy, and just as separate in his own existence as God the Father and Jesus Christ. It is so powerful that blasphemy, this verse tells us, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin listed in the whole of the Bible. Finally, Matthew 28, 19, those are a bunch of them there, gives us the powerful truth. We are to go into the world to make disciples and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to give you our theme this morning, the biblical perspective of Holy Spirit baptism. Our text starts off with this in John chapter 20, verse 22. It is this: He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That is our springboard text from which we will go with. And our sermon in a sentence is this: When we seek and receive the Holy Spirit, we have the existence of God himself in us. When the Holy Spirit is in us, we have the presence and Spirit of God in us. Not some other entity, not some fathom, not some phantom, but it's the Spirit of the living God in us. Why do I say that? Joel, point A is this, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It will come to pass in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. God has promised us his Spirit for us. We have that for us. God has promised his Spirit for us. What am I saying? Point one is this. And we'll get to the rest in weeks to come. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit to be given out to us. God has promised His Spirit on us. It is a promise that is for us, but it is also a promise that can come on us, regardless of what we've been through, regardless of where we've walked through. And yet, if we are Christians and believers in Jesus Christ, having been baptized, we can have it not only for us, but also on us. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in, on, with, and for you? God has promised His Holy Spirit in us to know His ways, to be His people, to have His restoration of us, in us, without separation of favor or gender, even on male and female servants. We have this great promise that the Holy Spirit is for us to have an experience in. Point B is this, Matthew 3:11, as for me, this is John speaking. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he is coming after me, is mightier than I, and I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It is also in Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. Let's just kill the PowerPoint. It's being tough, so let's just kill the PowerPoint. God has promised to baptize with the Holy Spirit those who seek after Him and who seek the Holy Spirit. What is the one main thing each of us are seeking for our lives? What is the biggest thing that we have the greatest desire for in and for and to flow through and because of our lives? That is your God. Better paycheck? Better family situation? Etc., etc., etc. Or more of Jesus and more of His Holy Spirit on you, in you, with you, and from you? God has promised to baptize with the Holy Spirit as a direct promise and fulfillment of Jesus, the one who came after John. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit would be sent. When He goes away, He will send the Holy Spirit to guide us and to comfort us because of His absence. And He will be with us. God has also promised to baptize with the Holy Spirit that will give fire in the soul and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the person. When Jesus left, He told them to go back, and I'll be getting to that. But when the Holy Spirit came on them, there was a presence, there was the personhood, there was the passion, there was the persona, and there was the absolute holy fire in their soul, wherein they could not, would not, and never did keep quiet. Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin. They are told by the church, we don't like that said. And yet they said, we cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard. And after they had been further threatened, they would later be beaten horrifically. They rejoiced that they found, that God found them, that they were allowed, is the word there, allowed to suffer for the cause of Jesus. These two disciples went back to the believers. They were terrified. They were scared. They didn't want to give in just because they'd been beaten basically within an inch of their life. Been threatened. And they could have died right there. And they prayed for what? Lord, You make it happen. We got to be careful. No, they prayed for holy boldness. And when they prayed for holy boldness toward the end of Acts chapter 4, the place was shaken and the Holy Spirit fell on them again. Again. What do I extrapolate? What do I draw from that? Let me share something. There's times when all of us need a refilling of our tank. We go through things that are tough. We face things that are very difficult. We encounter sorrows. We encounter obstacles. We encounter hurts. We encounter losses. And we need a renewal of and from the Holy Spirit. That does not mean we've backslidden, very contrary. We ended up a lot of times when we follow Jesus and we seek after Jesus and we walk in the flow of the Spirit and we do what we know that the Spirit tells us that we will face some things. But there are times when I've got to tell you, you are going to need a newness in the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit and from the Holy Spirit, so that you can walk in the newness of the Holy Spirit. God has promised to baptize with the Holy Spirit that will give fire to the soul and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the person. What are you burning for? Again, what is your passion? Where you shop, do you tell people or invite people or speak to people of Jesus? Where you get gas? Oldie Church of the Nazarene is getting to know me real well. And I go to two. One over by Walmart in Cortland and one on Parkman. And they're getting to know me real well. We have church in Aldie. Let me share with you, not here, but when we were in that other state that we moved, thank you, Lord, from. There was an Aldie 5 miles from us, just up from Costco. And I would go there, and we did not save 40%. We spent only 40% of everybody else. I would go in there a lot of times a week because I would take little trips and then be able to share with Jesus with other people and connect with people. I'm a people person. I've got to be able to get out and talk with people. And I was walking up and down the aisles, and there was this lady who was there. And she was crying. Her child was there with her. And I said, "Ma'am, you seem upset. Even I can figure that one out, okay?" And I said, "Is there some way I can help you?" And she said, she finally told me what it was. Her husband had just left her for somebody else and had all but cleaned out the account. And she was trying to get food just for the ability to feed her child. Well, by this time, it was attracting a crowd. And in the end result, 5 of us agreed to help her buy her groceries. She walked in with almost nothing in money. And between all of us, we filled that car with groceries. That's being Jesus. And if you want to have church, make sure you got, and I don't mean this racist, but make sure you got someone who can sing that's of the African American community. Boy, can they sing. And after we got done, I said, "Amazing grace." And she took over. "Oh, how sweet the sound." And about that time, it took off. We had 40 or 50 people in that store singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Because people in Aldi, matter. People in the grocery store matter. And they need Jesus. And this Holy Spirit fire can come so much in you, on you, with you, through you, that it cannot help but go from you. Because that's just who he is. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no other friend can do. Do you have a story? Are you telling it? Folks, the Holy Spirit is there for you, to help you, to infill you, and yes, even to heal you of all the stuff. And I dare even say this, folks, there are churches that I have been in the last years, 50 years, I've been at this, I'm 65, I started when I was 15. There are churches that need a healing because of stuff that's going on and how much they've been hurt and how much hurt is in the church. And I've seen revival break out because someone said, I need a new touch. This latest Asbury thing broke out for that very way. God is not bound by anything that he's done before. Story is this. A man went to preach. He preached on a chapel. And as he was telling his wife, well, that went okay. I suppose it wasn't the best sermon in the world, but oh well. I hope they got something good of it. And a student said, can I say something? He stood up and he got in front of the chapel, the congregation, if you will, in the Asbury Chapel. And he said this, I've been in sin. I've been dealing with other sins, and here they are. And as tears poured down his face, he came to an altar, and it busted open. Because God, the Holy Spirit, was healing that young man. And through healing that young man, there was a healing like never before in that generation since the 70s at Asbury, of healing a lot of people of a lot of issues and a lot of hurts. Point C is this, Acts 1, 4 through 5. And while staying with them, we're talking again about the promise of the Holy Spirit. While staying with them, he ordered them, i.e. he commanded them. It's an imperative. It's not an option. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, he gave the command. Not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Back to John chapter 20, verse 21, from the text. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And also in John chapter 14, I will send the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 was this, for John baptized you with water, but you will, not maybe, not sometime, however long, be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. God affirmed the promise through Jesus. The very Son of God himself spoke the same promise to the disciples who were with him. God had promised, I will send my Spirit in the last days. Jesus restated the Holy Spirit promise. These same disciples included people from all walks of life. There was a lawyer. There was a doctor. There were tax collectors, IRS people. Aren't those wonderful people? There were fishermen. There were blue collar. There were white collar. There were no collar in the structure they had. There were people with families, and I have no doubt there were people that were not married. From all walks of life. These same disciples included people who had followed after Jesus these last 3 years of Jesus' life on earth. But it also included people who had fallen away from him with their life. Betrayal. denial, not going to the cross except John, the beloved, leaving him when they should have stood with him. Because of stuff. I will share this with you. It's going to be a great and glorious life, but it's also going to be met with some tough stuff. You're not supposed to lose your children. It happens. It's happened to me. You're not supposed to lose a job that God has blessed you with previously. But you may. You've had friends, and they will walk away. They may even betray you. Some of the greatest hurts, and I read this week on the internet, the greatest hurts may be in the church, but they are not the God. They are just people who have hurt you. Trust in the God who you trusted in for you, and go forward. These same disciples included people who were restored by him as well. You may remember the story well. Jesus comes to the seaside. People are going out there and fishing and returning to their old life because it's what they knew. Jesus never condemned them for going fishing and doing what they knew best. And when he said, cast your net on the other side, and they started hauling in fish. One of the disciples told Peter, it is the Lord. And Jesus had fish on the fire ready for them and said, you bring some of yours, because he wanted them to be part of it too. If he could multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish, he could multiply what he had there for 7 people besides himself. But he still used what they had. He still included them. And ladies and gentlemen, he includes you, and he includes me. No sin was committed was so great that they were not forgiven. No sin was struggled with that they were not delivered from. And then they were prepared to be restored to greatness, not goodness, but greatness in Christian service for Jesus, living and ministry through their life. As you know, I've worked in a penitentiary, not as an inmate, I better clarify that for our visitors, but as a nurse, trauma nurse. Believe me, we had trauma. Some of the greatest stories inside and once they get out are those who accepted Jesus, a lot of them on the inside, and said, I want to tell you where God brought me from. There's a lady in this area that has her message on Facebook of where God brought her from. There's a lady in Kansas City who is finishing her doctorate in theology after having been in the drug and sex trafficking trade. There are people throughout life. My parents had a pastor that had been in jail 10 years of his life for first one thing, then another. And God forgave him and restored him. And he went on to become a pastor at Nazarene Bible College. And Rufus Beckham is now at home with Jesus because God forgave him and restored him and delivered him. God affirmed the promise through Jesus, the Son himself, who spoke the promise of the Holy Spirit from God to them. It's a promise of the gift that is sure. Can I share this with you? God's promises are never refutable. He doesn't make a promise and then say, oh, take that one back. It's a promise that's sure. When we were growing up, we'd call that an Indian giver. God is not the Indian giver. He's the all-forgiver. And he's the forever giver. It is the promise of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Gift that in oneness God's Holy Spirit is one with the Father and Son, and makes us one in the Father and Son. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. When I was growing up, we would have Christmas, and about Thanksgiving, we'd start pulling out the Monkey Ward, Montgomery Ward, for you younger whippersnappers, and the Sears Roebuck catalog, and we would lay there on the floor, and we would circle things that we wanted, and we'd have to get a new catalog every year because we had it so marked up. I don't remember how old I was, but we were told, we're going to get you one main gift, a little bit of goodies in the sock and maybe a change of clothes, but one main gift, you choose what it is. Boy, I mean, I pored over that thing, and I remember finally settling on a 10-speed bike, and I circled it, and I tore it out of the Sears Roebuck catalog, the page, and I put it on the table. And yet there was, will I really get it? Or will my brother, who's older, get his and I won't get mine, which is how they handled things a lot. Well, he's older, we couldn't afford. Will I really get it? You see, I got news for you, folks. When God the Holy Spirit says it's a promise, it's irrefutable. The Holy Spirit is a non-negotiable. God makes no promise that he has not planned and does not desire to fulfill, nor will not fulfill in us. There are two basic things I will share with you that impede receiving this promise. Unconfessed sin. Slam dunk. He knows it anyway. It could be a major sin, or it could be a sin of just remembering and holding somebody in your mind and just not forgiving them. There is a difference in forgiving them and just saying, oh, that's okay. That's not forgiveness. There's also the aspect of forgiveness that releases the sin that so easily besets and lets us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, so that we can be delivered, because he, for the joy that was set before him, despised the cross, endured the shame, but now is set at the right hand of the Father. But there is the releasing. That does not abdicate their responsibility or what God will do, but what it does is releases me. And it does not necessarily say, I do not want that person to restore what has been taken, but it releases me of the bitterness and the gall and the hatred of what they did, to the point of saying, God, I can't do it. You have to do it, because I am consumed by this and it is controlling me. Can I just share this with you? You will never get over some things that happened, but you can get through them by releasing those people to Jesus. As I shared earlier, I worked in a prison. It was a max ultra max, El Dorado, Kansas, for one of them. The average stay there, we called it the Holiday Hilton because it was one of the best built prisons in the nation, it was 29 and a half years. There were people there who had done some horrible things. And before a man died, after he had killed so many, the family was allowed to speak to him. His name was David Williams. It's on the internet. I'm not divulging things, that what he did and how and all of that. But they were able to speak to him. And they said, we will never release your punishment, but for us to be released, we forgive you, to be released into God's hands, that he can take care of it. I ran into those people at a Kroger, which is a grocery store, sometime later. And I said, how are you doing? I was the nurse that was standing there beside everybody, and they said, we recognize you. And they said, when we did that, we didn't do it because we wanted to, but we did it because God wanted us to. And I said, so tell me, where are you at? And they said they got in the car and they wept, and suddenly, the load was lifted because they forgave. They were healed. I don't know, maybe you need healed. Maybe this church needs healed of some things. Maybe you've been hurt so bad that the pain is so great there. You may have a physical anomaly. Thank God, Jim, you stood and testified today of all days about this. That's God. Only God. There are people with knees and backs and stuff here, but God. There are people with family that are suffering physically, but God. There are people here who are dealing with some past trauma, but God. There are people here who are dealing with some difficulties of overcoming some things in their life that they know that isn't good, but God. And maybe as a church, we need to, not only as individuals, but maybe as a church, we need to be healed of some things that have happened. But here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. As I shared with you, this is an add-on, so don't give up on me. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 18 and 19 are my key verses for this church, at least for now. And it reads like this: remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. I am doing a new thing. Not I will, I am. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand I'm doing it? I will make a way in the wilderness, as well as, or and, rivers in the desert. Here's what I'm going to do. And this is why this is just the first point. Here's what I'm going to do. Felt very led last night, about 10 o'clock last night, to do it. And so we're just going to do it. If you want to be different, if you want a new touch, I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down. I didn't say you backslid. That's not what I'm saying. The disciples needed a new touch in Acts 4. I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down and kneel at this altar. If you want a new touch in your family, for whatever reason, you may have a brother, sister, uncle, aunt, father, mother, son, daughter, spouse, former spouse that needs Jesus or needs delivered by Jesus. I'm going to ask you to come down. You may be dealing with some pain and some hurt in the past, or some uncertainty or some questions as to why. I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down. You see, I just believe God has a new plan for this church and a new idea for this church and a new vision for this church. And it starts with us as individuals. Sir, I cannot hear you. Please speak up.
Could I say something?
Sir, yes, sir. Please, sir.
Just kind of tagging what you were talking about the office deal.
Sir, yes, sir.
I have a disabled son. When you were taking him to Walmart, he's been having problems with his disability. I had already taken him.
Can you come up and use a mic? Would that offend you to ask you to do that? I'm going to get the green one.
we never know when God's going to work in our lives, you know. Like the pastor was talking about Aldi's. I have a disabled son. He's mentally disabled. And I usually have to take him to Walmart about once a week. And this last week I took him. He had been having problems with his debit card. He gets some money from food stamps and stuff like that. He had problems before. So I'd already checked out. And he was checking with a cashier and stuff. They couldn't get it to work. And he was motioning to me. He says, it's not working. Up steps this man. The bill was $80. Up steps this man, and he says, I'm going to pay your bill. He says, the reason I'm doing that, he says, God has been good to me. He said, I was in the same situation that you was in. He said, the lady behind me stepped and paid for my bill. I thought that was so awesome. I thought it was, and that's the first time that something like that's ever happened. So we left, and my son, he told me about it. The guy was outside. He passed, and I thanked him. And he says, I'm going to my cabin to pray. And he was disabled himself. Looked like he maybe had polio or something. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, there's still a lot of good people left in this world.
Right.
And I told my son, I said, that's a blessing from God. I said, I ain't never had that happen to me. So I just want to thank God, you know. He just works in miracle ways. No matter what we're going through, he's still there with us. And he's blessing our kids, you know. Like I said, we've had a lot of pain in my family. Mental illness from my mother's side of the family. And I had to take care of her for a lot of years. You never know when it's going to be passed on down to your kids. But, you know, we have to take care of them. And we moved from, you know, back south in Oklahoma and come up here. And you just never know how God's going to use you.
Right.
Walmart, Aldi's, wherever it is. He's in control. And he's sure good. Thank you.
I don't know who you know that needs Jesus. But I hope you know someone that needs Jesus. I don't know who you know. Maybe it's you that's been through some hurts. It's okay. We can have a new touch. You see, I just believe that Satan is the biggest, uses the church pain or church incidences to stunt the growth of God's people because we get our eyes off Jesus and say, well, we can't. And yet God says, I am doing a new thing. I'm going to sing, and if you want to come, I'm going to invite you. Others have been here. I just think we need to just do this today. I don't know why, but I just think we need to do this. And I just believe God has a special thing for each of us, including this pastor, if I can be really blunt and really transparent. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee.
Power, come in thine own
I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray as well. And those in internet land, I'm going to ask you to pray wherever you're at. Jesus, we are here today, and we need a new touch from you. God, there's been so many things that maybe we have faced, that maybe we just need to release it. And just say, yes, it happened. I can't change it. I don't understand it. It's caused hurt. It's caused pain. But through God the Holy Spirit, I can receive what Jesus has promised and the Father has promised. And I can be made all things new. The old be gone, and the new has come. Not just as we as people, as persons, but also as a church. Lord, I pray that revival would thunder down and that your Spirit would come down on each and every one of us in a way that is new and fresh like we've not had before. But we've got to start with each of us getting right, getting healed, and getting a new touch. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that. And I ask you where you're sitting or where you're kneeling, wherever you're at, to cite that concern, that loved one, that situation, that struggle, that addiction, that pain, that injustice. Face it, there's injustices done. And even seek God to remedy those things. But also to help you, while he's remedying it, to get healed of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm dealing with some things, you're dealing with some things, we're all dealing with some things. I may be a pastor, which I am, but I'm human. And yet God is still God, and we have to trust him because he's all we have. Come, Holy Spirit, join with me. I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Are all hearts clear? This is the business we are having to be at first. Yes, we've got a congregational meeting, but that's just going to have to wait. That's secondary.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.